Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Recovery from Relapse meeting. Today is Tuesday, the 6th of May, and we have a wonderful speaker coming in today from Los Angeles. So I'm going to just introduce her. It's Holly G. She first came into OA in 1994, and she currently lives in Los Angeles, and she is going to tell you her story now. Holly, I will pass it over to you, my love. Take it away.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Holly, compulsive overeater. Thank you, Rita, for asking me to lead. It's always an honor and a privilege, of course, to even be in a meeting, much less lead a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what it was like and what happened in my relapse experience and what it's like today. That's the most important thing, is what it's like today, of course. I got to remember to read this. The Voices of Recovery today is exactly what I usually talk about, especially if I have a little bit more time to talk. So 30 minutes is we can go into a little bit more detail, which is great for especially for newcomers. I am a garden variety compulsive overeater. I grew up, I'm in the United States. I'm in Southern California. Although I didn't grow up here, I grew up back east in a small town between Buffalo and Rochester, New York. And part of the family's still there, and that's I go back every year to visit, and it's all good. You know what I mean? Today I can say I can look at myself in the mirror and say, I'm grateful for that I got through all of that, and then I'm standing here today in front of you. And that's what I can be grateful for. It was a pretty rocky childhood, in the sense that I started out with everything was pretty normal. I'm 68 years old, so it's a long time ago, okay, that I was young. And it was like I was born in 56, but we grew up in a certain way. It's a small town. Everybody knew everybody, and but what happened was, I started to feel different. Of course, in elementary school, I was always the biggest person in the room. Okay, I was never one. I was not that person who was normal weight and then gained a lot of weight. I had always been overweight. Even like I have the pictures in my picture book of 5 years old, I'm overweight. So I never knew anything different other than being the biggest person in the room at that point. So when I grew up, it was a constant comments from people, of course. And I know a lot of you have had that happen. And especially when the older we get, the more the filter, there's no filters, okay, in back east where I grew up, there's no filters for anybody. So I just wanted to be invisible, and that came along later. I wanted to be invisible, and I wanted to fly under the radar, because at when I was in a fifth grade, my parents divorced, and that wasn't even done then. Like, I didn't know anybody whose parents divorced. Well, it turns out my dad left, and it turns out my mom was mentally ill. And I was left with her. My older sister and I were left with her. My older sister's 8 years older, so she was out of the house in a little bit of time, but I was left there. So I grew up in this era of neglect. Okay, I wasn't abused. I was neglected. I wasn't visible to anybody, basically. We didn't have any money, so I grew up very poor. So I was overweight. I didn't have nice clothes. And the other thing is that made me feel different is I'm very I'm non-binary, and if you think about back east at that time, I was misgendered all the time, like literally all the time. And it just made me feel like I didn't want to be seen at all. It was a really weird way to grow up. And what happened is, in that time, like sometimes we didn't, I was near Buffalo, New York, if anybody's heard of that, a lot of snow, okay? There was a lot of times we didn't even have heat. Like I'm in a sleeping bag in my room. So that's how I grew up. I know that there was a power there helping me get through that time, okay? Because obviously I'm sitting here in front of you, and there was a power, and I just kept going. I moved out to California when I was 30. You know, a lot of things happened at that time, in that time, but still there was a higher power there that got me through that, got me to college, four-year college. I don't know how did that happen? Like that I got to go to a four-year college. And there was and then I went back to the small town. I worked for my dad. My dad owned the diner in town with his brothers. He owned a diner. So he taught me how to cook, diner cook. And I did that for 8 years. I think it was about 8 years. And then I felt myself, of course, I'm gay, and this is a small town back east, if you can picture that. There's just nobody. I was like on my own. So I got this chance to come out to California to visit. And within 9 months of that visit that I had, which was great, within 9 months I had sold things, I had packed the car. And I mo was moving out here to California with no job, with nothing but like I gotta leave there and do something different. I don't know where did that courage come from? I have no idea because I'm afraid of everything, okay? So I can't even explain that how that happened, but I got out here. I got a job in a different career, which was great. It was fine. I couldn't find a cook's job, but I got a job in a different career and started a whole new life out here. So, my top weight is about two. I think my top weight, I'm going to say it's 280 pounds, just rounding out 280 pounds. And I had lived in that weight between 240 and 280 my whole adult life. Like I didn't go way down and way up. It was just right there, 240 to 280. And I powered through pretty good most of the time. I would go on some diet down to 240, and I'd go right back up to 280. And 280, I did not feel well, okay? 240, I was like rocking. I don't know how that happens. And that's how I lived for the longest time. But other than the physical, though, I learned this new career, and I had to. There was a lot of people. Like I had to talk to a lot of people in this time. I was doing okay, but like here's how I used to eat. I'd eat three meals, okay, and then but every stop I had to make for my work, most of my stops that I had to make for work were. We call it over the hill in Los Angeles. I live in the valley, San Fernando Valley. So most of this, I had to stop and get something to eat before I would go to the next stop because I was terrified, basically terrified to go on to that next stop. There was some dicey things too. So it wasn't that it was unfounded terror, but I didn't want to, I had to deal with people and I was not good at that. But I did it, and I would eat, and I'd go, and then I'd get home, and I'd eat all the way till I went to bed. Okay, so it was a constant thing, and that's how I maintained this 280-pound cushion around me was by eating all the time. So I did that. The other part of it is how I felt inside, which was, before I left back east, I felt very, really, really dead. Okay. That's what kind of prompted me to move. And when I got into a relationship after I moved to California, and it's my first relationship. I hadn't been in one before, and with a drug addict, which is not a good thing. Was not a good thing. Okay. It was a horrible relationship, but I had no filter. All right, I just said somebody's paying attention to me. And it was the first person to actually pay attention to me. And I got into this relationship. But luckily, again, higher power stepped in and put me into Al-Anon right away, which was and that put me into a group of people. I went to an Al-Anon group that was focused in the LGBTQ community, and I like sat down, and everybody was so lovely, and that's when I started to talk. Okay. It was slow, but I started to talk, and I started to they let me hang with them, and I started to just be. So this is about 5 or 6 years after I moved to California. And then, of course, in that group are people that are in Overeaters Anonymous. So that was my first time in. I knew I had to go, and that was fine. I just talked to the people, and I started going to meetings in the first time.
That's
But
10
here's what
minutes.
I is that 10? Great. Okay. So the first time I was in, I went to a lot of meetings. It was all good. I got to know a few people, and I got an abstinence. That was the most important thing. I got an abstinence, which was the opposite of what I was doing. So my abstinence then, which I knew what it had to be 3 meals a day, because I was like, I told you, I was just grazing the whole day. 3 meals plus grazing in between, because boy, did I eat those meals. Okay, don't get me wrong there. So, 3 meals a day, and I had stopped eating sugar a while before that because it was really making me sick. I just replaced it with other things. It didn't do anything with the weight. It was like I was so nervous that when I ate sugar, it would make me physically ill. So that was my abstinence, and I was going to meetings, but I really didn't keep a sponsor. I would ask people, and I really wouldn't call them. I would ask another person. I'd call in my food for a while, and just not. I didn't sit all the way down, but I did enjoy being and learning and getting this abstinence. Boy, did I feel better at 3 meals a day. I really did. It took some of that anxiety away. But I never like worked the steps. I never started. So what happened was when I left. I had gotten into a good relationship with an available person, and we started to get together and date. And I thought, oh, okay, this is great. And we moved in together. It was really nice. And at that point, I walked right back out of program. Like it wasn't even a conscious, I'm leaving. It was my meetings reduced. I didn't start eating, but everything else went by the wayside. I just walked right back out, and until I realized I'm not even going to meetings anymore. So 8 years passed, and this time I'm not going to meetings. I didn't really pick up food too much. I didn't pick up sugar really, but it got sketchy. Okay, it gets sketchy after a little while, and I was in a relationship with this partner, and we had a catering company working out of the house. That's also not recommended, okay, for a compulsive overeater in and not going to meetings, but it kept me at that 280 pounds most of the time, working really hard. Now, the other part of me is I'm pretty much an overworker as well. And you'll get to see that after a while. But things were okay. Honestly, things were okay. And then they started to decline. As soon as we stopped this catering company, I had a little more time. I was working really hard, and I felt myself again, same feeling as when I was back east, like dying inside. That's what I felt like. Like I was losing all of my personality. It was kind of gone, you know? I was existing. I was going to work, and I was had a re this relationship. One by one, the friends are leaving, and I'm just existing. And it wasn't some. It really scared me. That's what scared me back into program. So when I came back in, there was a summer of 2002 that a bunch of little annoying, weird things happened, even with my sister coming out for a visit from back. That didn't even go well. Things were not going well. They were just declining, and I was declining. So in that summer, I had this thought, higher power put this into my head. Why don't you go back? Why don't you go back? I live in the middle of a place where I could go to a meeting every day, and this is all in person, of course. why don't you go back and actually do a four step, like get a sponsor, work the steps, and do a four step. And then literally, you can, if it doesn't work, you can leave. But why don't you give it a good solid try? And I did that by August of 2002. I went back to program and I started to just, I sat number one, the first meeting I went to, I didn't even make it through the whole meeting. I had to leave after like 45 minutes. But the second meeting, I sat all the way down. It's like I could sit all the way down. Everybody was so lovely in this meeting. It's still my home meeting. It's Monday Night Miracles. Everybody was so lovely. And I sat down and I started to listen. And I got a sponsor. I met a lot of new people, and there was a lot of the old people were there that I recognized from before, which was very hopeful. I started working with a sponsor September 28th, 2002, and I count that as my first day of abstinence. Although 3 meals a day and no sugar, nothing really changed there, but I was able to tell her for that day and for those subsequent days what I was going to eat that day, and I was almost honest, like I could almost spit it all out. And that came in time as well, okay? So I was able to tell it, and luckily, again, higher power steps in and gives me a sponsor who's in very heavily into service, and she put me into service right away. She had a sponsorship family. It was like a family sponsorship. So I got to meet a bunch of people at once, all my sponsorship sisters, and we all worked together. We all had each other's phone number. We would call during the day. I knew who to call that wasn't working when I was. So if I got in trouble, like going into Costco, like I could not go to Costco without going to the snack bar. And I was able to go because I had to go for work. I had to do these things. Bookend that visit to Costco. I'm gonna just get those paper towels. I'm not going not going to the snack bar. So little by little, she had given me writing assignments, and I started writing, and I was writing and following these assignments, calling her 6 a.m. every morning. So me being up early is not at all weird. I now start my sponsee calls at 6:10. So it's not weird. It's not a push for me to be here at 6 a.m. So I started to do that, and little by little, I kind of fell into a comfortable place, like I was doing the writing. And I, so what happened was, when I walked back into program, as I told you, it had nothing to do with weight. I was the same weight, didn't matter. I was used to being 280 pounds. I could function at that weight. I thought it was functioning. I could do that. And I had no hope. I had lost any hope of being any different. I had to be different in my life. Like my emotions were shot. So, when I came back in, I had no hope of losing weight. Although I wanted to go back to that 3 meals. I was almost there, but I wanted to go back to that 3 meals a day because I knew I felt better. I wasn't thinking about food all the time. But what happened was, month after month, as my sponsor told me to weigh once a month, I had asked her for help with my food about a month in, I think, of calling her. She was a 100-pounder and she was on her way down as well. So I'd asked her, can you help me with this? Help me. And she did, and we got a food plan that was basically right, a weight losing food plan other than just maintaining. And I ate three big meals a day is when I start is how I started. I had to start where I was. So 3 big meals a day. And she gave me this plan. I mean, we were doing all the same thing. Like all of us were eating the same way. So it didn't, that was great. But what happened was I had every time I weighed, it was a little bit less. And I would look at it and I'd report into her and I would file I filed that away. That, oh my God, like when is this going to stop? When is it going to, I'm going to go back up. Like I didn't worry about it, but I would file it away. I wasn't focusing on that. I was meeting people and I was doing service and I was doing this writing and calling her. So what, in 2.5 years, I was at a healthy body weight. I don't know how that happened. I would file it away and I wasn't concentrating on it, but it was happening. And every little thing in there was like a revelation. Okay. When one loses 100 pounds, now this is now 145 pounds that I'm down. I've been sitting in a healthy body weight now for, again, took me about 2.5 years to lose that weight, and then I kind of had to level off. That was another thing. But to be at that different of a weight is there's a that's a whole share in itself, the things that come up with a 100 pounder, getting to a healthy body weight, which I
Thank
can't
you,
go
Max.
into. Thank you. Excuse me. It's a lot of talking, I'm not a talker. Anyway, I'm still quiet. But so all this is happening, okay? And I'm settled into a program. I started to sponsor women. Started to sponsor, somebody wanted to call in their food to me. And I said, okay, I asked my sponsor first, yes, you're pretty solid by now and you can take somebody's food. A person called me at the same time every day, just like I called my sponsor. And then that kind of, and then I started to sponsor people through the steps and everything, which was every time I mean, every sponsorship relationship, I did everything wrong to begin with, which was, but that's okay because we all have to figure this stuff out. I just did, I would do what my sponsor did with me, but recognize that everybody's abstinence is different and everybody's different and their situation is different. So I had to, that's a learning process, and sponsorship is a whole, again, that's a whole nother share in itself. So as I'm working my way through, things are pretty stable and I'm chugging right along. About 10 years in, I found that I had to leave my relationship. Things were declining. There was a lot going on. I got myself into a little bit of a scratchy place, and I thought, and what I've learned in this program is I've learned to, before making any big decisions, I work the steps through on that situation. Okay, so I did that. I grabbed a couple of women in the program, long-timers in the program, and they helped me work this through. Okay, my sponsor at the time was a little too close to the situation. I worked with a couple of other women that were a little bit set aside. Okay, and that was the best thing I could do. The decision was made. I got some outside help, and decision was made to leave. And I did that because of this group of women in the program. I did that with very minimal amends to make, very general and minimal, because I did things the right way. And this is what I've learned in program, okay? To do things in a way that's like I'm in recovery. And listening to people and learning from all of you, my higher power got a chance to develop like this relationship. Although, as I told you, I know I've already, I always was very protected by something. But to develop this relationship with a higher power that's more like a guide rather than a God. Like a picture on the wall. It's not like that. It's more like a guide, like a personal relationship. So that developed over time, mostly by listening to all of you talk about your higher power and what happened to you. That's how I started to develop mine. So interesting enough. So I think the theme that I've really zeroed in on in my relation or in my recovery is consistency. So I stay. I have a sober food plan today that keeps me at a healthy body weight, and I don't think about it. It really works for me, but it keeps me at a healthy body weight. So that being set aside, I work my program. I've gone through all the literature, many times, done the steps many times. Like I say, if I have a scratchy situation, I work the steps again. I had trouble. How much time we got? Good. All right, let me read this because this is really, I was astounded. I wanted to do my reading before this morning because I wanted to be centered for this share. And listen to this reading in Voices of Recovery. It says, abstinence means freedom from the bondage of compulsive overeating. This statement is a profound revelation to me. It helps me remember when my disease wants me to forget that overeating enslaved me for nearly 4 decades before I came to OA. Hearing these words early in recovery gave me a positive perspective when I felt deprived by abstinence or different from other people. Through 10 years of abstinence, my appreciation of freedom from bondage has deepened physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's it right there. The bondage is not there today. And then they list a bunch of things. I could have written this myself, honestly. I cherish the precious independence OA has given me. Freedom to look in the mirror and like what I see. That's a little sketchy. freedom to purchase clothes I want, not just clothes that fit. That was my first boss. When I moved out here, she wanted me to dress like her, okay? That did not work, and I felt really bad. Freedom to move my body in ways that morbid obesity prevented. That's cool. Freedom to know all my feelings and to feel them fully. That's 100% important. Freedom to become a life-managing adult. Again, a little sketchy, but I'm trying. And freedom to connect with my loving higher power. Isn't that a great reading? I was so happy to read that this morning and then be able to share it with you. That's what's happening. I am able, with God's help and with everybody's help. I talk to a lot of people I have to talk to each day. And I've developed relationships along the way. And you know, they come and go. In program, relationships do come and go. Sometimes when people leave program, they leave me too. And that I had to learn how to detach from that, detach with love. This does happen. People come and go in my life, but every time, every sponsor I've had, and I've had my current sponsor for, I think 14 years, and I just adore her, and she knows basically everything about me and has gotten to know me, and I've gotten to know her, and we talk, you know, one-on-one. I have people in my life today that when something happens, I know exactly who to call and say, this is happening. Can you help me with this? Or what's your experience? Or just wanting to get it out. I process things by talking now. I never talked before. I talk and then I write, all right? I go to my higher power. Now, my everyday plan, this is what I stopped working. That's a whole nother story too, the work thing. I stopped working around in November at my regular job. That was thank God. Thank God. And so my life is now quite different. I had a lot of catching up on life to do when I stopped working. Around where I live and around the house and just my things. I have a plan today that kind of encompasses everything. What I do each day though is in the morning I have sponsee calls. I get up, I read three different meditation books. I'm still in both programs. And I read three different meditation books. I write a letter to God for the day, like what's going on, what do I need help with, what do I want to get out. And I take my sponsee calls and I do exercise. I do five meetings a week, one of the other program and four OA regularly. But of course, if I'm speaking or I need to pop in somewhere, I do that. Thank God for Zoom, right? I do go to in-person meetings, two of them per week, which I'm very grateful for, but I'm also grateful for Zoom. At night, after dinner, I do a 10-step. It's kind of extensive because I've made it custom to myself. I do a 10-step and I write out my food for the next day and I send those two things to my sponsor. So at the end of the day, my sponsor knows kind of what happened and that I'm okay. And
1 minute.
Okay, thank you. That I'm okay. And then here's what I'm going to eat the next day. And now all that's done. So then I can go to sleep and start the next day. I'm so grateful for my life today. It's extremely different than what it was. I feel emotionally stable. Emotional sobriety is really what I work on today. It's not the food, it's not. I'm still astounded I can do a spin class though. I can't, every single week I'm like, how is this happening? Remember, I'm 280 pounds. Well, I'm not anymore, but I'm a 100-pounder. So that the mindset, the memories are still there. But by working this program and by talking to all of you, I get to live a great life today. And if something does go wrong, I have a solution that I can turn to, and then I don't have to pick up food anymore to push all that down. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, Holly, thank you so much for being with us today, and thanks for that brilliant message of experience, strength, and hope. And I'm just going to share, actually, because Holly talked about for today's reading from May the 6th, I'm just going to read it for the end of her share. Abstinence means freedom from the bondage of compulsive overeating. Overeaters Anonymous. This statement is a profound revelation to me. It helps me remember when my disease wants me to forget that overeating enslaved me for nearly 4 decades before I came to OA. Hearing those words early in recovery gave me a positive perspective when I felt deprived by abstinence or different from other people. Through 10 years of abstinence, my appreciation of freedom from bondage has deepened physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I cherish the precious independence OA has given me. Freedom to look in the mirror and like what I see. Freedom to purchase clothes I want, not just clothes that fit. Freedom to move my body in ways that morbid obesity prevented, sorry. Freedom to know all my feelings and to feel them fully. Freedom to become a life-managing adult, and freedom to connect with my loving higher power.